From the newsrooms of WBUR and GBH, I'm Paris Alston. Welcome to Consider This from Boston, where many public school students and parents are embracing the return to in-person learning. But for some parents of color, remote learning is a matter of keeping their students psychologically safe. In fact, a recent survey from Boston Public Schools found that around half of Black and Latino families want to send their kid to virtual school next fall. Here to explain why is GBH education reporter Meg Woolhouse. Hey, Meg, how's it going?
Hi, Paris.
Meg, you spoke with one parent who is really feeling this need to keep her student learning virtually. Tell us about Latoya Gale.
So Latoya Gale is a mom to three kids, including a teenage son who's Black and has autism. He's a student at the Boston Collegiate Charter School, and his grades have improved during the pandemic. He's really liked going to school remotely, logging into classes every day from his bedroom. There's less social pressure, and he says it's easier for him to focus on his work. So he did go back to school recently to take the MCAS exam in person. And as I say in the story, it was a disaster. The proctor, who's also Black, took a video of him taking his test because he was the last student to finish, and then she posted it on TikTok. And the video mocked him as the last student to finish. Hurry up, she wrote, hashtag I'm done. Well, the mother learned about it from her teenage daughter. And in a pandemic year when the headlines show unarmed Black men are killed during their interactions with police, she's had enough. She's already worried about sending her Black autistic son into the world in general, right? And she's worried that he goes to school and isn't as engaged as he could be. And then there are instances like the TikTok one that would leave any mother crushed. Here she is.
Because of the country we live in, they might see a threat just because of his physical appearance. And then when I compound that on top of he has these social challenges because of the disability he has, and then he's in a school system that is not preparing him to be a functional member of society. It's like all these things are just so unfair.
Yeah, you can really hear the emotion in her voice there. And as we mentioned, Latoya is not alone. Around half of Black and Latino BPS families want virtual school to stay. So what's driving this? And is the school system open to keeping that model?
Well, it seems like Boston Public Schools are open to this idea of virtual schools. They've pitched it to the state. They want to open a standalone virtual school, and they say it could have as many as 1,000 students. It could also open this fall, as soon as this fall. Experts say parents like Gale and others I've talked to are interested in such schools because they're disillusioned by the kind of education and experiences their kids are having. They want their kids to feel safe. They want to feel safe sending their kids to school, and they want them to blossom and succeed, right? Not just get by. Many students who might be considered different or those who have special needs seem particularly disillusioned with their kids' schooling. For someone like Gale, the idea of a virtual school gives her more control. She can see what her son is learning, what he's not learning every day. She can see how involved he is and whether his teachers are engaging him.
I think what the pandemic has done is allowed a lot of parents to actually see or witness or experience in some ways the type of teaching and instruction that their children are getting.
Well, that makes sense. What are the concerns, though, Meg, if we keep up with this hybrid model? Because we know in some cases the pandemic widened racial disparities in academic success.
Exactly. That's a really good question. Those racial disparities already existed, and the pandemic made everything worse. If you're a parent and the system isn't working, it's not surprising that you're going to look for new options, for new solutions. That said, virtual schools aren't a panacea. In fact, there's no research backing up whether they're as good as in-person schools. There have been two private, for-profit virtual schools in Massachusetts, and one of them was on probation for 5 years due to low academic achievement.
They're all spectacularly wonderful, according to their marketing materials. They are the next wave. Everything will be easy, none of which has been validated by actual third-party study.
So what will Latoya Gale do?
Great question. She doesn't know yet. She might enroll her son, but she needs more information. The Boston School Committee has not yet voted on the virtual school question, and the school committee is in a lot of turmoil right now with two members who suddenly stepped down last week. So that's another problem, something else that hurts parents' confidence in the school system. So she's sending her son to a charter school right now with the hope that it's a better option for him. But she's also questioning that decision. Time will tell.
It surely will. That's GBH education reporter Meg Woolhouse. Meg, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Before we go, I should tell you what else is up. The pandemic is continuing to subside in Massachusetts. For the first time in nearly a year, the state's Department of Public Health reported zero new coronavirus deaths yesterday and just 33 new cases. That's the lowest case total in more than a year. With COVID numbers dropping, the state is starting to shut down its mass vaccination sites. The site at Gillette Stadium in Foxborough is closing today. With the closures, the Baker administration is shifting its vaccination strategy to community-based efforts. And starting this week, shots will be offered on the MBTA commuter rail. Dr. Sarah Suleiman is an infectious disease expert at Brigham and Women's Hospital. She says the new approach is critical.
I like the idea of moving from these big vaccination sites into a more targeted approach and actually identifying who in the population hasn't been able to access these mass vaccination sites and why.
All seven of the state's mass vaccination sites will be closed by the middle of next month. Moving on, the trial of a local father and son charged with helping former Nissan CEO Carlos Ghosn flee prosecution in Japan is getting underway in Tokyo. Michael and Peter Taylor were arrested at their home in Harvard, Massachusetts last year. After a legal battle, they were extradited to Japan. Japanese authorities say the Taylors helped smuggle Ghosn out of the country, where he was facing trial for alleged financial crimes. Northeastern law professor Daniel Medved says that as with most legal systems, prosecutors in Japan have the upper hand.
The conviction rate at trial is remarkably high, upwards of 90%.
If convicted, the Taylors could face up to 3 years in prison. And finally, some good news for book lovers. Most branches of the Boston Public Library are opening back up today. The library's main location in Copley Square partially reopened earlier this month. Library President David Leonard says that some pandemic rules will remain in place.
We are continuing to require masks, and we've had that rule in place for the first 2 weeks of reopening at the Central Library already, and things have been going well.
Now, not every branch of the BPL is reopening. Those at Adams Street, Roslindale, Hyde Park, and Oak Square will remain closed, as some of those locations are undergoing renovations and repairs. But I'll tell you what, I am so ready to get back to my local library. And while I'm there, I'd love to check out some of your suggestions for good reads. Shoot me a text and let me know what those are. Stay tuned to the end of the show for details on how to do that. From the newsrooms of WBUR and GBH, the greatest combo since summer days and a good book, I'm Paris Alston. Be well. You waited to hear those texting details. You know what? You're a real one. Okay, so like I said, I'd love to hear your suggestions for good summer reads. Novels, memoirs, philosophy from the world's best thinkers, you name it. I'm into all of it. If you're already in our texting group, you know how this works. But we love newcomers, so send a text to 617-272-7346. That's 617-272-7346. Excited to hear from you.